You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married. Well, good evening.
Well, how are you?
Well, I'm missing my husband and my dog a lot. I've been gone for how many days? 10 days or so. And yeah, I'm ready to come home.
Well, you know, this is going to be really weird because if things work out when you come back, I'm going out there, or if it works out a different way with my trial and case schedule, I might be coming tomorrow and we'll actually get to spend 2 or 3 days together while I'm doing some work and we can come back together.
Yeah, that would be great because I won't say I'm lonely. I'm busy every second, but I still, in the evenings, I miss having you around.
Well, it's certainly a lot quieter here. Hey, let me tell you what, you missed a phenomenal thunder, lightning, rainstorm just a short while ago. I mean, it was your kind. I know you love these kind of storms, and it was a beautiful Texas storm. I mean, buckets of rain, and it was gone in about an hour. So it's pitch black out here. But boy, you should have seen the rain coming down and the lightning. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I like those. Well, California is its usual warm self, so nothing new there. Hey, there's been an awful lot of things happening in the news while I've been gone. I don't know, we've been inundated with all kinds of crazy stories. So the biggest one to my mind right now, amongst many, is, of course, President Trump decided to reopen the government, or at least the small portions of the government that were closed. And, you know, there's a lot of chatter about it, and people are saying, oh my gosh, he's flipped, he's not doing the right thing, he's caved in. And of course, Chuck Schumer jumped on that with just a vile speech saying how, you know, the president, hopefully he learned his lesson, and, you know, how great he and Nancy are. But I really disagree with that, Ron. I want to get your take on it, then I'm going to give you mine.
Well, first of all, I was, to be honest with you, this kind of hit me. I wasn't expecting this. And I got a little concerned when I first heard it. And then I just started thinking a little bit more strategically instead of emotionally. And I agree with you. I think the president's doing the right thing. First of all, you just can't hold the government hostage. And the people really, I know that Trump, when this first start, President Trump kind of said, hey, I'm the guy, I'll take the ownership of shutting down the government. But that only goes so far. And it goes so far as when the Democrats refuse to negotiate reasonably, ethically, and honestly. And especially several days ago when Trump came out and he said, look, I'll give you this, I'll give you that, I'll give you DACA, I'll give you, you know, he even went overboard. And I was very concerned about that because I don't think you need to give in that much to the Democrats. But he's trying to make peace and they're not hearing it. And
no.
The speech that was given that same day by, you know, that condescending, full of himself, Chuck Schumer, was just disgraceful. And so the president tries to bend over to try to help to get the government back up and running, and you turn around and you basically, you know, stab him in the back. And then Nancy Pelosi, actually, I thought she was going to be as vociferous as Chuck Schumer, but she wasn't, but she was still as bad. What I don't like are people like uber conservative Ann Coulter going off the rails and just saying that the president is lying, that he's dishonest, that he's betrayed the American people. That woman just needs to go. And we just can't have those neocons like Ann Coulter taking down the president of the United States. I'm sure she'll never get invited to any presidential functions in the near future.
Well, we have enough people trying to take the president down. But, you know, when actually you're the person who first told me that President Trump reopened the government. And here's kind of my take on it, Ron. First of all, I think that President Trump is an extremely compassionate man in many ways. He is compassionate for everyday Americans. And I think that he really, really feels for the people that weren't getting a paycheck. And I think that bothered him. And he did, as you said, he did everything he could do with trying to make a deal. And Pelosi and Schumer wouldn't even come to the table. They would not even have a conversation. And then Nancy Pelosi decides that the president of the United States cannot come into the people's house and give a State of the Union address. And, you know, people feel that President Trump really caved in. But here's how I see it. He's a very smart man. He's a very smart deal maker. And what he did is he made the offer to the Democrats, which they flat out refused and they wouldn't even discuss, which were things that they've wanted all along. And by the way, let me remind you that Chuck Schumer actually sponsored a wall bill a few years back himself and touted how much we need a wall. And all of a sudden we don't need a wall. So this is just hypocrisy at its best. But President Trump was finding that the polls of the American people were blaming him for the shutdown. And to my mind, the American people have very short attention spans, and we're not willing to wait something out ever. And this is kind of a downfall of America in a lot of ways, because our enemies are certainly willing to wait us out. And that's what happened here. Well, he's decided that since public sentiment was turning against him, he would reopen the government, but only for 3 weeks. And at 3 weeks, because they said that if you reopen the government, we will negotiate with you. So he's calling their bluff. And now they have to sit down and negotiate because they have no reason not to. And at 3 weeks, he will, again, close the government, or he will issue an executive order, an emergency order. He has already written that emergency order, and he's already got it, you know, being vetted. And because, of course, he's going to, you know, get challenged in court, and some liberal judge is going to shut it down, and then it's going to have to go through the courts. But he's ready for it. So, you know, even though they're saying that he gave in, I don't feel like he gave in. I feel like he's outplaying them at their own game.
Well, you know, I'm coming around to your way of thinking. And that's why I say I'm looking at this, you know, very factually and not emotionally. And you're right on many counts. First of all, one of the biggest problems that I see in the United States is our low-informed and uneducated voting masses. And by uneducated, I mean uneducated into what's happening in civil affairs in the United States and what's going on with national security and how all of this stuff links together with respect to our personal safety and security and our national security with the drug problem, the cartels, people sneaking into our country, the crime rate, the specter of terrorists coming across the border. I don't think you can deny any of those things. But, you know, I guess my only disagreement or my disappointment was, you know, nothing's changed, and I would have done it 2 weeks ago. I would have just declared a national emergency because it's there. Nothing really is going to change in 2 to 3 more weeks. The Democrats are going to be, you know, in my mind, maybe I'm going to be wrong, but they're going to be as recalcitrant as they were when we started out. And I think that, you know, the courts are going to be what the courts are going to be, okay? And I say, just do it. And I would have just declared the national emergency and open the government up and to heck with the Democrats.
Well, I think that the reason that I don't agree with that is because he is showing that he is willing to negotiate, that he's willing to work with them. America can see that. And the other thing that he got from this is he is now going to be giving the State of the Union address, and he can say what he wants to all Americans ahead of the time that the next shutdown would occur. So I think that he's really doing it strategically the right way. And after 3 weeks, if they refuse to negotiate, if they refuse to come to some sort of a deal that he can sign, then that's his next step. And by that time, we all have to see that he's tried everything that he can try.
Okay, so let me play, and by the way, Linda, I don't disagree with you, but let me play devil's advocate with you at the same time. Okay, so you're saying the American people are going to see that, you know, he's trying to be conciliatory, he's trying to negotiate mm-hmm. ethically, but then at the same time, you've already said, you predicated your statements by saying that the American people have a short memory, right? And so that's where I come from. Look, it's a fact that the American public are uneducated and uninformed. It's a fact that the American public are easily swayed. They have an emotional response instead of a studied one to everything that's been going on. And the mainstream media is completely complicit with all of this in favoring the Democrats. All of that being said, you know, my thing is, hey, to heck with it. You're the president of the United States. You have the executive powers. The courts are going to do what the courts are going to do. And by the way, you can have the State of the Union anywhere you want. It is a diplomatic formality that you get invited to come in to the Capitol and give the State of the Union address. And by the way, that Capitol building, it does not belong to the Congress or the Senate. That Capitol building was paid for by you and me and all of us, and we can do anything we want with it.
Well, I absolutely agree with that, but
Linda,
it's not going
to...
Nancy Pelosi, even though it is the people's house, she really makes the decision of if the president can come in or not. It would not have looked good if he would have basically forced his way in. And it would not have looked so good if he had to give the State of the Union from somewhere else. So I think that all in all, he's doing the right thing. And, you know, we're just going to see how this plays out. If their word is true that they really will negotiate with the president now that the government is reopened, I don't think they will. I don't think that they'll negotiate in good faith. I think that they don't want to give him any border wall at all. And personally, I want him to stand strong for that border wall and do whatever it takes. And I do believe that most Americans feel the same way. And, you know, it's interesting because the vast majority of states in the United States are not border states, at least on the southern border. They don't have the type of context that we have in living in border states to see the child trafficking coming up the middle of the highway in Texas,
right,
or to see
the drugs, the way we see the drugs.
The drugs, to see the cities in Southern California really go from being lovely cities to turning into
Tijuana.
You know, little Mexico cities. And
or even third world cities. Because
third world cities,
you know,
absolutely. And not a reflection on the Mexican people, a reflection on the type of uneducated and unskilled people that are coming over our border, that are bringing drugs, that are living in tents, that are not respecting our laws. And, you know, just today I was reading an article about an illegal alien, 39 years old, who finally a judge sentenced with some realistic sentence to 401 years in prison because he was raping little girls. He impregnated a 10-year-old little girl. He had been deported several times and come right back across the border within months and was, you know, harming our children. So 10-year-olds, 13-year-olds. And, you know, we need to have a way to stop these people from coming back over the border. And we need to get them deported in the first place. So, you know, I hope he stands strong. And I think he will. And I think that he's playing this game in a way that they're not going to know what hit him.
Well, you know, this is, and I think anybody that has, you know, a common sense mindset understands that this is all about power through the Democratic Party. They know, and by the way, I want to have a discussion with you about voter fraud later, but they know that if they can get as many of these illegal aliens across the border, that is going to be a major, major voting block. Now, that being said, look at how this is so easily getting away from the Democrats. And what I mean by that, and I don't know if you were watching television recently, but there was a protest where Nancy Pelosi was speaking, and it was basically inundated by illegal alien activists, open borders activists, and they completely surrounded Nancy Pelosi. And they were screaming and chanting while she was trying to talk, and it was incredible to see because she totally lost control over everything to the point where she is screaming at them to please be patient, to do this, to do that. And they were holding up signs and screaming over. They basically drowned her out. And they were screaming, all 11 million, all 11 million, all 11 million, meaning they want blanket amnesty for everybody that crossed the border illegally. All right, over the several years.
That's 11 million votes for them.
Well, there's not 11 million, there's 21 million.
Well, that's okay? 21 million
and
votes
that's
for them.
The end, and that's the end of this country. And this is what Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and all of these open borders advocates for power, that's what they've done to this country. I'm telling you, these illegal alien voting blocks or people that are voting illegally, many of them are voting illegally anyway, they are going to completely inundate the Democratic Party. They are going to take over the Democratic Party. And the Democratic Party, if you look at it right now, it's more inclined to move to the show horses, the new show horses like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the couple of the new Muslim women, congresswomen that have just been voted in, and the socialist progressive left. And that who has kidnapped the Democratic Party, which used to be the party of the middle class and the working and the blue-collar workers, that's completely gone.
Well, I do think that the left is going in that direction, but I don't think that middle America is going in that direction at all. They are repulsed by these new Congress people and the things that they're saying. And I'm particularly repulsed by the lady from Minnesota, I forget her name, because she is absolutely anti-Semitic and she has fought in the past for light sentences for people that are fighting for ISIS. I just think that Minnesota was absolutely out of their minds to elect somebody like that. But I also want to say something that as I was working this past week, I had the opportunity to fly up to Northern California and meet with some people. And the subject came up because Nancy Pelosi is from that area, and the subject came up not by me but by someone else as to a comment made by Nancy Pelosi's daughter, who's also in politics. And the question had been asked to her about, you know, her mom and how determined she is. And she said, "Let me tell you something about my mom. She will absolutely cut your head off so fast you won't even bleed." And I mean, what she's saying is that her mom, as we've seen in this negotiation, is she just is, I don't know what the word is, just kind of vicious in her negotiations, and she will not give on anything.
Well,
so,
you know what? Let's do this. Let me grab a cup of coffee and let's you and I continue this conversation in a minute.
I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
As former law enforcement officers, we know that your life and the lives of those you love and work with can change in an instant when you encounter an active shooter.
Unfortunately, in today's world of uncertainty, encountering an armed active shooter can have deadly consequences. That's why the key to survival is training and preparedness.
And that's why we want to invite our listeners to seriously consider taking our Response to Active Shooter training course.
Violence can happen to you anytime and anywhere, and when you least expect it. Having a response and survival plan and engaging it can be the difference between life and death for you or a family member.
Our response to active shooter courses are customized for the corporate, school, church, restaurant, and small business environment at a reasonable budget that fits your needs.
So don't put this life-saving training off because you don't think it will ever happen to you. We call those people victims.
Our response to active shooter instructors are all nationally renowned tactical law enforcement experts who will guide you through the life-saving protocols you'll need to survive an active shooter event.
So be a victor, not a victim. Go to responsetoactiveshooter.com to learn more today.
Remember, that's all one word, responsetoactiveshooter.com, and be safe out there.
Well, I'm all coffeeed up and the dog is out cold. So let's just continue this conversation of what we were talking about Nancy Pelosi.
Well, I kind of want to switch a little bit over to the voting. You know, you and I have talked about this before, where with voters, there's been a fight on the Democratic part not to have the voting records investigated in the different states. And Texas did its own investigation, and they found that 95,000 non-citizens were on their voter rolls, and of those, 58,000 have voted. This is a big problem, Ron, and it's not just in Texas. I'm sure it's everywhere. And remember, we just learned also that California had the same situation in Los Angeles, where they had hundreds of thousands of dead people and people that no longer lived in the area on their voting rolls, and people were using those names to vote?
Well, that's right. And that had been going on for 10 years. And thank God for Judicial Watch, and you and I are both members of Judicial Watch, and we contribute to them, which is a fantastic organization, to force the transparency of government and effect change. And that's what they found. And I think they found just in Los Angeles County, in those counties right there, there was 1.5 million just in that area, Los Angeles County being the biggest voter fraud area in the state of California.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that President Trump had created a voter fraud commission, and he got so many lawsuits, so much opposition from the states and kind of infighting amongst the members that he dismantled it. And I really think that we absolutely need a voter fraud commission, because the more that states are willing to look into this, and some are not, some are going through the courts to prevent their voting records being looked at and to prevent us from seeing if illegal people, whether they be illegal immigrants or whether they be people that are no longer alive or whether they be felons or whatever the situation is, have voted. And I think that we're all due that information. That is only fair to the rest of us in America, because it affects our vote. Their vote cancels out our vote, and their vote is illegal and ours is legal.
Well, you know, you're exactly right. And that went back right after the elections in 2017, President Trump created that commission to look in the allegations of voter fraud. And like you said, it was roundly criticized. And there are 12 of the 50 United States that are in court and fighting against investigations for voter fraud. But you know what? And of course, Nancy Pelosi says there is no voter fraud. However, it can work both ways. It can cut both ways, because, you know, I'm mindful in the fact that in this most recent midterm election in North Carolina, the State Board of Elections is now refusing to certify the results, where a Congress candidate who is Democratic Congress candidate, Dan McCree, lost to the Republican candidate Mark Harris by 900 votes. And they believe that those votes, which were absentee ballots, were unlawfully collected by people associated with the Republican, Mark Harris's campaign. So it really cuts both ways. You know, I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. I'm completely against, as should we all be against, voter fraud. And, you know, the federal government, if the right to vote is a civil right and one of our federal laws, then the federal government should step in if it is a federal election. And the state should step in if it's a state election. What do you think about that?
Well, I absolutely think that they should step in. I think that every single state and city and county, and I don't care who it is, if there's a voting process, their records should have to be open to be examined. And the fact that people are going to court to have their voting records not be examined is, I don't know, that's very telling to me.
Well, it's also, we all have standing as American citizens and as citizens of our respective states. We all have standing in a lawsuit where fraud is alleged, because when fraud is alleged, it needs to be investigated, because all of us, like you said, are disenfranchised. If we have people that are here illegally, or people that are here in this country and they're on visa or some diplomatic process of allowing them to remain in this country, yet they're voting fraudulently as if they're Americans, that's fraud, and we need to be protected by it.
Yes. No, I absolutely agree. And I just think that we need to get a handle on this, and it should be a very transparent process. And the fact that it's not should concern every American.
Okay. Well, let me share something with you about a Frost My Socks moment. All right. And that is, I, as a retired law enforcement dog, I am so angry about the recent FBI raid on Roger Stone's residence. And you remember Roger Stone was associated with the Trump campaign. He was a big campaign strategist, and he's become embroiled in the whole Russia collusion thing. This guy is 67 years old, and he's never committed a crime in his life. There's no crimes of violence, doesn't even own a gun. Basically, he's a high-powered businessman that's been associated with the Trump campaign. His wife is about his same age, and she's completely deaf, right? So she can't hear anything. So Robert Mueller, the special prosecutor, decides that they've got enough information to be able to arrest him for lying to Congress. So what he does is he puts together charging papers, and they get over 30 FBI agents and 17 vehicles, including tactical vehicles. This is the hostage rescue team, SWAT team, all FBI federal agents, and hit this guy's house in a pre-dawn raid to arrest this guy for lying to Congress. Okay, this is something where if anybody had any sense and any decency as an investigator, you call up his attorneys and you do what we used to do when I worked in the fraud unit, and even sometimes when I worked in violent crimes, you call up the attorney of the suspect and you say, hey, look, we've got a warrant for your arrest, and let's do an arrest by appointment. Let's not make a big deal out of this. Why don't you surrender your client? And we'll have this guy processed. That's not what they do. They hit this guy's house with heavily armed officers in a pre-dawn raid. And it just, Linda, I've been in hundreds of raids. And when you've got everybody dressed up to go to the party and they're heavily armed, there are always unintended consequences of that, where something can happen, a mistake can be made on either side, and somebody gets shot. Right? I mean,
right.
It happens all the time. And there are more often screw-ups than not screw-ups. And I'm just picturing these guys hitting the house. He comes downstairs, in his underwear from sleeping upstairs, woken up out of a sound sleep. The wife's up there. She doesn't know what's going on. All of a sudden, you got heavily armed officers in the house, and she can't hear anything, right? So she comes downstairs. She's misidentified, or somebody thinks she did something. It's dark in the house.
Or she's carrying a cell phone.
Or she's carrying, yeah, exactly. And all of a sudden, there's a major accident. This just bothers the heck out of me, because to me, It underscores where the Federal Bureau of Investigations has gone.
Well, you know, I'm thinking back to raids that I did back in the day, and we would be going into known drug dealers' homes or people that are known to have weapons, and we'd take, you know, two or three cars and, you know, six or eight guys. Not anything like this for a guy who has no record at all, who's 67 years old, who lives in a very nice neighborhood. This was way overkill on this. And it was just for Mueller to make a big splash and tell everybody. And oh, by the way, they just happened to call CNN News to be there.
Yeah,
you when know, the CNN, raid took place.
Exactly. CNN News.
Which I think is despicable. Absolutely despicable that the FBI would stoop to that level, that Mueller would stoop to that level. This says everything I need to know about this investigation, and it should tell all Americans what a farce this has been. And to try to get a guy on charges of lying to Congress. So, Ron, when I think about this, I can't remember what I've had for breakfast some days, to be honest. And well, busy people at various times of life, you know, they have so much going on. I could not remember if somebody was to interview me about something that happened last month, last week, last year, 10 years ago. I there's no way I could remember. I don't think any American could. You can't remember everything that you said and did to somebody at those times. And by the way, other people can not remember and say that you did or didn't say something. Memories are so fallible that we just can't use that. And what Mueller's doing is he's saying that people lie to Congress because maybe somebody else has said something different than, say, Stone said. And I just think that this is just it's a witch hunt. It always has been a witch hunt. And Mueller hasn't been able to find anything that he wanted on President Trump as far as collusion with the Russians. He knows that there's no collusion with the Russians. So now he's focusing on people in Trump's inner circle to try to hurt President Trump. I just think that this whole thing needs to stop. And, you know, I hope that we get our new head of the DOJ soon so that we can, because this the new guy at Ward,
William Barr,
he's going to put a stop to this.
Well, I want to talk about a couple of things because I've been doing some investigation into their investigation, and I've been able to read the charging papers and, you know, the indictment papers for, you know, several of the people that they've already arrested in regards to, you know, lying to Congress. But I want to make one comment, which is a tactical comment. The whole issue of this need for all these guys, the HRT, the hostage rescue team, the FBI SWAT team, all the heavily armed guys, the vehicles, all of this stuff, like they're going in to an MS-13 gang house. They're going into a terrorist safe house. They're going into a cartel safe house instead of some poor 67-year-old guy and his deaf wife. So CNN was definitely called by the FBI to be there so they could politicize this entire arrest. But by having CNN right across the street and filming, what that does is it takes away from the reason to have the tactical team there whatsoever, right? Because if you're worried that there's going to be heavily armed people in there and shots fired, the last thing you're going to do is invite the news media to be right in that inner perimeter of what's going on, right? I mean, that's just SWAT spec op tactics. So that it just infuriated me because there's only one reason for it, and that is to get everything up on CNN, NBC, MSNBC, and this guy doing what we refer to as the perp walk. But let me get into the investigation of Stone, because don't forget, and I think the American people have to remember that this entire investigation by Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller was because they're investigating allegations of collusion between President Trump, his campaign, and the Russians with respect to meddling and interfering with the 2016 elections and hacking into the DNC, right? That's what this is all about. But when you review the grand jury documents and the charging papers, it shows, absolutely shows, when you just read it, because they have to explain what they believe their probable cause is to make an arrest and for a grand jury to indict. These documents, which are now public, absolutely show that when they started investigating the Russians, even the Russians that were indicted, absentia, right? Because they're all back in Russia. They're never going to get extradited. Had no collusion, or no connection whatsoever with the Trump campaign. And even all of the indicted Americans so far, the people that have already arrested and indicted for lying to Congress and for doing other things had nothing to do with collusion. All right. And that includes Roger Stone, who even in the charging documents, it shows he had absolutely no connection to the Russians' hacking of the Democratic National Convention and their computer servers. So what Stone's indictment or his charging papers indicate is that the Trump campaign was not involved in WikiLeaks or Julian Assange's acquisition of whatever Russia stole, because that's what Julian Assange has been doing with WikiLeaks. Now, he's absolutely interfered with our intelligence apparatus and has given away a lot of ways the way we do business in intelligence gathering. But it's also important to know that in all of the special prosecutor Robert Mueller charging documents for everyone arrested to date, there is not, Mueller and any of his people that have written these documents of probable cause and arrest, there is not one written word, not one single written word alleging that President Trump colluded with the Russians to commit any acts of espionage against the DNC or against the United States of America. And I think that's the important thing to keep in mind here.
Well, and two important things that come to my mind are, first of all, since he has no evidence that President Trump had anything to do with Russian collusion, he should have come out some time ago and said that to the American people. But he holds that in his hip pocket so that people can still surmise that he has something to do with it, which affects the way that our president can govern. And I think that that is absolutely wrong. And secondly, the people that do have all kinds of physical evidence against them for colluding with the Russians are people like Hillary, who's not under investigation. If you're going to go as far out of the way to get somebody like Roger Stone, when you have a Hillary Clinton campaign paying for a false report by a guy that did work for the Russians, I just don't understand any fairness in this investigation. This is and always has been a witch hunt against President Trump. Mueller should say that he has nothing to do with it. After 2 years, you certainly know that. And be done with this and let the country move on. These people have no respect for the people of America and for our rules of law and for how people should be treated. They simply do what they want. At this point, I think it's still a vendetta, and I think that these guys are milking it for the salaries that they get as long as they can.
Yeah.
I just think that this is unfair to all Americans.
Well, I think this is all going to come out. I mean, it'll come out in the next couple of months. They can't milk this forever, and they will see finally that there was nothing there. Hey, I'm going to grab one more cup of coffee.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends, with 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Well, I'm all coffeeed up, and I just wanted to bring up another one of these, you know, political issues. Everything is so political these days. And I know the media is kind of beating it to death, but I thought maybe you and I would kick it back and forth, you know, just for a couple of minutes. And that's this entire Covington Catholic High School debacle in Washington, D.C., after these Catholic high school kids, most of which were male that were involved in this particular incident, are sitting outside, I believe it was the Lincoln Monument, and they're just simply waiting for a school bus to take them back, and they first get accosted by this black racist national group, the Black Israelites, and they're called, the Black Israelites, call these kids who are predominantly white just all sorts of, you know, racial epithets and just insulting, disgraceful behavior. And there is actual videotape of that, but that's not the videotape that the mainstream media showed. The mainstream media showed an angle for just a few seconds. It was maybe about 30 seconds of a older Native American by the name of Nathan Phillips, and that's not his real name. That's his alias name, and who described himself initially as a Vietnam veteran. And he approaches these kids that are just standing waiting for a school bus and starts beating this war drum. And you know, the main kid whose name I don't remember his first name, but his last name is Sandman, that's the kid that you see standing there, and he's got a MAGA hat, and three or four of the other kids have got MAGA hats, which is I think why they were approached by Mr. Phillips. And this poor kid is basically frozen in place, and he says the only thing he could do not to jack anything up was just to stand there and smile. He never said a word. And all of a sudden, this has all become a bunch of white Catholic racists. So I just wanted to talk with you about that, and then you and I could talk about what the truth about this entire incident that subsequently come out, and I want to talk about what a fraud this Nathan Phillips is.
Well, I think the whole thing that happened was despicable. The kids, I think, were doing their school chant or something. Nothing racist in anything that they did. What was racist there was what the Black Israelites were doing, which, as you said, wasn't what was on the news. But when you saw the videos that people had filmed there themselves, when those came out, you saw the truth about what happened. The Native American guy came up to these students. They didn't go up to him. And was, you know, beating the drum and I think singing in his face. And the kid just stood there. But the things that the media have said, the Alyssa Milanos, the Kathy Griffin, so many people in the media, just they were vile. They said that they wanted that this kid had a punchable face, and they were threatening their families, threatening their lives. The school did not back them. The school came out against them, and nobody had the facts. And that's what's despicable in what's happening in our country today, is that everybody jumps to conclusions. Nobody waits to hear the facts about anything. You can go back to Michael Brown and Hands Up, Don't Shoot, with, you know, just despicable lies about things that never happen, and people react to that. And I think that that's a huge problem with our media, and the false reporting, the false narratives, the things that seem to meet with what they want them to be instead of what they really are, is just bad for our country. It makes people think and feel ways that are incorrect because what they're thinking and feeling about never happened.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. And from top to bottom, you know, Nathan Phillips, this Native American, that's the only thing that's really true about him, that he's a Native American. He's basically a washed-up actor. He's been involved in two or three B movies over his life, and I personally feel that he's just trying to kickstart back up his acting career. And he's getting a lot of TV time, which I think he believes that's really going to help him. But that's not his real name. His real name is Nathan Standard. And like I said, he has initially revealed himself or identified himself, and in past years, and there's video of all of this, so it's not my speculation, that he was a Vietnam veteran. Well, somebody put in a FOIA request, Freedom of Information Act, and pulled out his DD-214s, which are his Department of Defense employment records with the military. And here's the truth. Yes, he was in the Marine Corps, but he says that he was a recon ranger. And of course, me having a relationship, longtime relationship with the Marine Corps, I know that there's no such thing as a recon ranger. The only type of recon there is in the Marine Corps is force recon, and that's way back east, where you see predominantly where force recon gets trained, and then they move all over the country. But where he screwed up is identifying himself as being in Special Operations Unit, when in fact he was only a rifleman for 2 days. And what he was in the Marine Corps, and by the way, he almost never left the state of Nebraska. I think he went into Topeka, Kansas for a little bit to get some more training. He was a refrigerator maintenance man. That's what he did. Okay, so this is a guy that's never been to Vietnam, was never in combat, never left the United States, and has falsely identified himself as a special ops, you know, kind of warrior kind of guy. And that's not what it is at all. But to me, the bigger picture of this whole thing goes back to what I heard Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez say, and this has become the mantra of the new progressive left, and that is, facts don't matter for these social justice warriors. They will tell you facts don't matter. It is who believes in a higher cause. So these are those fake social justice warriors. But that's where the new progressive left is going. They're not interested in facts. They're only interested in emotionally capturing people like they are and getting them to vote for the ridiculous, you know, causes that they're involved in.
Well, and if you're white anymore, you must be the enemy. The people that were really taunting these kids with homophobic, racist, and derogatory comments were the Hebrew Israelites. And that story has been lost. So this was a black group that was saying the racist things, the homophobic things, but nobody has condemned them for that. And this I don't understand. You condemn a 16-year-old white boy for standing there, what they called smirking, which I call, if I was 16 years old and I was looking at an older man who walked up to me beating a drum in my face, and if I chose to stand there, what would be the expression that would be appropriate on my face, Ron?
You know,
I mean, this kid was obviously uncomfortable, and he did the best thing that he could do to defuse it, and yet he gets death threats over it.
Hey, you know what? Let me just say this last thing, and we'll skip to something else because the media sort of killed this thing. But what bothers me, these are children, okay? These guys are like brand new high school kids. They're children. And these adults, these disgusting adults, including those people in the media, have completely stolen this and taken this out of context and vilified these kids who, as you say, now them and their parents are getting death threats. The school was closed down all the rest of the week because of this, and they've been threatened with bombings and active shooters, and these are just kids that were in the wrong place at the right time, and they were accosted by adults that had a bigger plan.
Well, so, and one more thing, the parents have given everybody 48 hours to retract their statements against those boys, and everybody else after 48 hours is getting sued, and they have already started filing lawsuit after lawsuit. And as far as I'm concerned, just keep doing it, because people need to learn to wait and get the facts before they open their mouth.
Well, we'll see.
We'll
see where that lawsuit goes, but if it does go somewhere, I would love to work as an expert pro bono for that. So anyway.
Well, it's a lot of lawsuits. Each person's getting sued individually, and each news organization that doesn't retract their statements. So, you know, when it was holiday time, Ron, you and I had a lot of conversations about things that were, you know, cool Christmas gifts to buy. And now that the holidays are all over, there's still some really cool gadgets that are on the market that I think people should know about, and I'm going to buy some of these.
Okay, so what are they?
Well, okay, this is one that I need. They have a neck hammock, and it says it's better than a chiropractor. I love this idea. You lay on the floor, you actually put it's like a little hammock for your head. So you're laying on your back and you have your head in this little hammock, and the top part is tied to maybe a doorknob, and it relieves your neck pain and it improves your blood flow, and it kind of stretches out the tension in those inflamed muscles in your neck. And Dr. Oz called it one of the best health finds of 2018. I really like that item. I get a lot of neck pain, and I think that I'm going to try that. It looks like it makes sense.
Well, you got to send me a picture of it.
Okay. The next item we did buy, and we haven't tried it yet, but again, it's fixed. It's called Fixed. It diagnoses your own car the same way that people would diagnose your car if you took it into the dealer and they put a little thing in there, and you plug it in and it gives you a readout of what would be wrong with your car. So instead of the dealer doing it and you paying them to tell you what's wrong with your car, you can do it yourself. And it also helps you know if when you take it in, they're being honest with you, because as you know, some car dealer, not car dealer, but car repair places are not really honest about what you need. And that happens certainly to women a lot. I know it's definitely happened to me and happened to our daughter-in-law, where you go in for something and then they tell you 10 other things are wrong so that they make money.
Okay, so this is a great time to bring this up because yesterday I opened the mail and there was something from our car dealership in regards to my pickup truck, and they said, "Hey, it's time, your vehicle's is ready for its, normal maintenance. So where did you put that thing so I can plug it in today and see what kind of maintenance the truck needs? Where'd you put that thing?"
I don't know. I'm 1,200 miles away from you, so I
Thank
don't
you.
know right
Thank
now.
you very much. You just made my point.
I
Okay,
think it's.
let's
I think it might be on the dresser in the bedroom
All right.
there.
Thanks a lot, Lee.
Anyway, the next item is a. It's called a visor. It's heads up driving. It was inspired by fighter jet technology. And it's a GPS, and you can put it on your dashboard, and it's kind of see-through, and has display technology right in front of you, but yet you don't have to take your eyes off the road to be looking at it. So I really like that. It's a thing that's going to help people avoid accidents by trying to look down at their phone or look at the Garmin, on the glass in the
Right.
window,
That sounds
which you
cool.
can't see through. This one is actually something that we sell in our business. It's called Peeps. It's a glass cleaner. It's two-sided, and kind of if you picture like a pair of tweezers, and it's got a little glass cleaner on either side. You would put one side on one side of your glasses and one side on the other, and just helps you desmudge your glasses. It's inexpensive, but it's really one of the best cleaners that are out there.
Well, I think some deer just walked past the motion detector because it set it off if you heard those chimes. Yeah, I've seen that thing. You even have those things in your office. That is pretty cool.
Yeah. And this is another one that I'm going to buy. It's called Photo Stick. It's a world's only instant photo organizer. It's just a little stick, like a flash drive, and it helps you store your photos and videos on your computer in the cloud. But you just connect it to your PC, or you start with your phone, and it gives you all your photos and keeps them organized. So I think I'm going to buy that, because you know what? Yesterday I spent an inordinate amount of time sitting in California by myself trying to get my photos off my phone onto my computer, and I don't know why, but I couldn't do it.
Well, it's also hard for me to do that with my phone. So yeah, go buy that thing and bring it. Now let me ask you a question. Do you plug that thing in where you plug the charging plug in? Does it go into that same thing? Because
Says, well, as I'm reading it, is you're gonna plug it into your PC or Mac and press go, and it's supposed to sync your pictures and videos into the stick.
from
Now,
the phone, from the
if
phone,
it
it sucks
doesn't
it out
take
of the
them off the
phone.
phone, then that won't help me.
Right. So that's what you got to look for, okay? Because if this thing is a USB, and I think I saw a picture of it once, you got to figure out how you're connecting it to your phone. And I know you've got an iPhone and I've got an Android, and how does it work? So just give that's a cool idea. Just make sure you know how it
Oh,
works.
well, actually, you know what? They actually have a PhotoStick Mobile, and that's what that you could find and organize and secure the photos on any mobile device. So that's the one I need to buy.
I agree.
Yeah, so they have two. They have the PhotoStick and they have the PhotoStick Mobile. Got it?
I got it.
Okay. They have an item called, I'm not sure how to say it, Dodow or Doodow. It's a sleep lamp. And for people that have trouble sleeping, it kind of retrains your brain to fall asleep. It's got a slow rhythmic light, and it's designed to kind of quietly and quickly quiet your mind so that you can get into sleep. And then it helps you slow your breathing, relax your body. You know, if you purposefully slow your breathing at night when you're trying to go to sleep, it will really help you sleep much faster. But this light it has really good reviews about kind of lulling people into a good deep sleep.
Okay,
That
hang on.
be and one more that I want to buy for us. It's called XY Find It. And there's lots of things on the market that help you find things that you lose. But what I love about this one is it's kind of like a spy device. You can put this portable tracker on anything from your keys to your dog to your luggage. And it allows you to see exactly where things are on a map so you never lose anything ever again. And here's my suggestion, Ron. We put it on the dog. That's what we're going to do. And you know, there's about another dozen of these items, and I'm going to tell you about them next time we have a conversation because I really need to get to bed tonight. And there's a lot of more interesting items to talk about. But so far, I think out of those few, I found three that I want, and one that we've already bought that makes four, but they're cool gadgets.
Well, that's fantastic. I'll say goodnight to you, and I'm going to start looking around the house for that fix-it thing for my pickup truck. Have a great
Okay.
evening, sweetheart. I love you.